ॐ नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण,
हरे कृष्ण।
वेलकम टू द श्रीमद् भगवतम स्कैंडल 10 चैप्टर 17 6 एंड 11 What's on the board?
What? 10 and...
You read it on the board?
Yes, let me just read the translation of 10.
Okay. Seeing how the...
Translation.
Okay. This translation of text says... Seeing how the unfortunate fish in the lake had become most unhappy, the death of the leader, where he uttered the following curse under the impression he was mercifully acting for the benefit of the lake's residents. Purport. In this regard, the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explained that when our so-called compassion does not tally with the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it merely causes a disturbance. Because somebody had forbidden Krishna's coming to that lake. But he had moved in, made his headquarters there, and then spent doom for the lake's version. Text 11, verse we're going to discuss today. Atra Pravesya Krudo
Yati
Matsyam
sa
khadati sadhya
hane
vyujeta satyam eta kamyaham. Atra pravesya garudo Yadi Matsyam Sakhadati Sadhyapanu Vyujeta Satyametad Vumyam Sapravesya Garudo Yadi Matsyam Sakhadati Sadhyapane Vijugeta Satyametan Umiyam
Satyam
Sakhadati. In this lake. Pravesya. Entering. Garuda. Garuda. Yadi. If. Matsya. The fish. Saha. He. Karati. Eats. Sadhya. Immediately. Prane. Of his force of life. Viyujita. We become deprived. Satyam. Truthfully. Etat. This. Bhavimi. And speaking. Aham. I. If Garuda ever again enters this lake and eats the fish here, he will immediately lose his life. What I'm saying is the truth. So Prabhupada, this is what it is. Prabhupada's purpose. The child is famous in this regard because of Samori Muni's material attachment and affection for a fish. He failed to see the situation from the spiritual viewpoint. The ninth canto of the Bhagavatam describes a fall down for this offense. Because of his false pride, Samori Muni lost his power of opportunity and with it his spiritual beauty and happiness. The Garuda came to the Yamuna. Samori Muni thought, although he may be a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I will still curse him and kill him if he disobeys my order. Such an offensive attitude against the exalted Vaishnava, it will certainly destroy one's auspicious position in life. As the ninth canto described, Samori Muni married many beautiful women and suffered greatly their association. Because he had once become glorious, taking shelter of the Yamuna River, he went down, he was ultimately delivered. Omagyan Tirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshurimitanyena Tasmai Shri Chaitanya Manovesta Sthapita Mena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamaya Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Gunatam Tam Sadevam Sarvetam Savadhutam Prajna Sainam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakarmitam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinamandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Radha Kanta Namaste Sapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavane Shri Vishwabhanu Suri Devi Namami Haribe Vancha Kalpa Tarvyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Parita Nam Pavane Vyo Sashne Vyo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Vrajani Gaur Bhakta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Vrindavan 10th canto of the Bhagavad Gita. And the 10th canto, Prabhupada presents the Lord's transcendental pastime. Prabhupada went to America. The first thing he did after he went there was to get the Krishna book published. Prabhupada explained that. He wanted to make sure that all the pastimes are presented in a true form. And when you read about these pastimes of the Lord, you can see these are all transcendental. The Bhagavad Gita Krishna said, Janma Karma Chame. If you look at the Lord's pastime from a mature angle, you will think, this is just speculation. How is it humanly possible somebody could do a activity of this type? For example, you describe the appearance of Lord Sankaradeva as half man and half lion. Majority of the people who are not exposed to bhakti, the thing is speculation. The one who takes a feather bhakti yoga knows that the Lord is inconceivable. Advaita Machuta Manadi Ananda Rupam Adhyam Purana Purusham Sankaracham. This is the Dullabha Madhullabha Madhu Bhakti Govind Mahali Kusam Dullabha Mahali. The Brahma Samhita Lord Brahma say, Advaita, what is the important soul? Achuta is in the temple. It will make him say, Adhyaya Ananda, he came manifest into the an unlimited number of forms, but the genuine incarnation are all explained in bona fide scriptures. Adhyam Purana Purusha Mnami Yomnamcha. He is the oldest of all. He appears ever before. And further, the Lord Brahma said, Vedesa Dullabha Madhullabha Adhambhasa. You won't understand the Lord just by studying the scriptures, that's not going to be good conceivable. Which if you feather bhakti, then you'll be able to understand. So the Lord is inconceivable. So the 10th canto, you read about this pastime. And we see that the Lord is a young child performs for human activity. So in this chapter, we read the story of Kaliya. Kaliya was a very dangerous snake in the living in the Yamuna, and his fragrance, his body was so strong, even the birds flying over it would die. And Kaliya was ultimately really defeated by the Lord. So we see in the Lord's pastime that the Lord performed these pastimes at home with the devotees. Ultimately the Lord is the victorious. So here we read about the story, the story of Arya and the mistake committed by the 9th canto, this is very nicely explained. The story of King, the story of Subhaimani, and Prabhupada in the purport discusses that. Subhaimani is engaged in performing austerity. He was a very powerful muni, and he was performing great austerity, and he was discharging austerity by positioning himself right on the bottom of a river. Just like he would have the submarines go underwater. So Subhaimani was deep underwater, and he was able to meditate. And he was deep underwater, was meditating. There he saw, what did he see? Two two fishes meeting. And when he saw the two fishes meeting, he got bewildered. He got cheated. He started thinking that, oh, amazing, maybe this is a very enjoyable activity. And Swami Muni gave up his deep meditation underwater just by meditating on the happiness of sex life. So therefore we read in the scriptures that we should always be engaged positively. The mind can be a friend and an enemy. When is the mind considered to be a friend? When? When is the mind considered to be a friend? When you're thinking about it positively. And when you're thinking about negative thoughts, then the mind is what? The worst enemy. So what was the way when he fought? He was deep underwater, practicing austerity for a very long time. He didn't even care what his body looked like, his long hair and wrinkled cheeks, skinny. But the moment he started thinking about what he saw, what did he see? He saw the two vision meeting and began to think, sex life is very enjoyable. And he gave up his meditation, went straight to the palace of the king. Therefore, the Vedic advice, Anti Narayan Smriti, mold your life in such a way that won't do that. Mind is positively engaged. The mind will only be positively engaged if you have also practiced the process of devotional service. If you have not practiced the process, don't expect at the moment of death to be able to think about the Lord. This is why when he went to the king, he came out of his meditation and he had determined how I should get married. So he went straight to the palace of the king. The king saw Swami Muni to be a very ugly man. Naturally, living underwater and not caring for the body. He had long hair, long nails, wrinkled cheeks. The whole body had become completely weak and skinny. And Swami Muni was also very expert in chanting mantra. And he would chant mantras in a very purely. So the king saw this sage come to his palace. And the king said, Swami Muni said, I would like you to marry one of your daughters. The king had three daughters and three sons. So he approached, he said, I'd like to marry one of your daughters. And the king said, he saw the moon was so ugly, no one would even come near him. So he very diplomatically said, oh, I can't. Who is my daughter to marry you? If we'll marry you, I have no objection, but I can't force him. So Swami Muni was not a fool. He was very expert in chanting mantras. He knew where to chant the mantras with the right meter and so on. So Swami Muni said, I know why the king does not want to give me a bride. Why? Because I'm ugly. Naturally, I was underwater from my meditation. So he said, I know why the king didn't offer his daughter to me, no one of his daughters, because of this, my ugliness. I am going to become so handsome, so beautiful by chanting these my mantras, that even the celestial planet, religions living in the celestial planet, would aspire to marry me. And he was a powerful yogi. Hard to say it here. He was a powerful yogi. He could chant me on very powerful mantras, very powerfully. So Savai Muni, well, chanted mantras, by the hands, chanting the mantras, he became very handsome. Like these days, you go to beauty saloons, maybe you're an old man with wrinkled cheeks and whatnot. But if you go to the beauty saloon, there is such nice makeup on you that you won't even notice. Now they have their in the Western society, they have funeral homes where they take the body and decorate the body. You look very beautiful. So a lot of people spend money. This will look beautiful at Bariga. So Savai Muni, he, when Chari Mansur became very handsome young man. And he became a very handsome young man. And he went to the palace where the queens were residing. Savai Muni went to the palace where the queens were residing. And when Savai Muni entered that palace in which his 50 daughters resided, Savai Muni saw Savai Muni become so handsome, so beautiful, so attractive. All the sisters started fighting. The sisters started saying, I selected him first. And the other sisters were saying, no, I selected him before you. So the 50 sisters were just fighting. What did Savai do? Savai Muni engaged. And by chanting mantras, he had created very opulent palaces, very opulent palaces. So Savai Muni not only made himself very handsome, he also created palaces. Then he became very, very handsome. So Savai Muni saw that the 50 sisters were fighting as to whose husband he should be. He said, I marry all of you. Well, he married all the sisters. And by his austerity, he created such a beautiful palace. And when king came to see that palace, he was surprised. Because the king had a palace, so by what is palace, he did by the chanting of mantra, was even more attractive. The Savai Muni married all 50 sisters. He had 100 children with his wife. So within no time, his family expanded. His family expanded to 500 wives, 500 children. And he gave each of them a very royal environment to live in. So Savai Muni, by all these facilities, Savai Muni noticed that even though he has all the facilities, even though he has the power to become handsome, rich, he was still dissatisfied. He wasn't satisfied. Because he had a carte blanche. He created such a beautiful environment. He had a very beautiful palace to live in. And his wives were also beautiful. So Savai Muni realize I left my meditation to pursue the path of sense enjoyment, and I got sense enjoyment. I got the opportunity for sense enjoyment. Still, I'm not happy. He had absolute powers chanting. He was such an expert chanter of mantras that he got three palaces made by just one chanting mantra. He realized that I made a mistake. I should not have done this mistake. So he decided, I go and perform deep meditation in the water. I used to do it before. The wives saw. So my money is now desirous of pursuing the Vedic path. And so my money said, I've wasted enough time. I could not satisfy my senses, even though I had all the facilities. And he said, now we'll go back and start performing meditation. When he started performing meditation, his wife said, we should also follow our husband. The husband was not satisfied, did not satisfy himself. And the wife also followed the husband, and they all achieved perfection. Now, from this story, these are not mythological stories. This is not fiction. Sometimes people say, everything you read in the Vedas is mythology. It is imaginative. But that is not true. During the British rule, they had British scholars perfecting the knowledge of Sanskrit. They translated these books, the Vedas, and they presented it from the angle, this is all mythology. The Muslims are more blunt. They destroyed the Hindu temple. The British are more diplomatic. They are very systematic. They tried to show the Vedas present mythology. And the Vedas present true spiritual knowledge. So Swami Muni went back to the forest to perform deep meditation. In the Bhagavatam we see there are other stories also. Kinyayati, we read in his story, and he had a facility for 10,000 years to practice austerity. And whatever the result, he could not satisfy himself. So last time I read, are three pathways leading to hell. And lust is a powerful enemy. Arjuna said, Krishna, please instruct how, in spite of our having knowledge, what's right, what's wrong, we should get directed to what is wrong. What is the reason? What did Krishna say? What did Krishna say was the reason? Kama is a, what is it, Rajagatma. It is lust only, the all-devouring enemy of the living entity. He's always burning like fire. He never said anything. So through the pages of the Bhagavatam, we get exposed to so many different stories, but they have one purport. That is, you can never satisfy your material senses, remember material endeavor, and you can satisfy your senses. How? By engaging in service to the Supreme Lord. Seva Pali Mirjana Muktam, Tatvayana Nirmanam, Vishikana Nishikana Skena, Bhakti Uchate. The senses can only be satisfied by engaging in spiritual activity. Now, the Acharyas have explained why Subhaya Muni got diverted from his meditation. Subhaya Muni was in meditation, deep under water, and he still got diverted. Why did that happen? These were the effects of offenses. Therefore, Prabhupada says, avoid offending any Vaishnava. So why would he have offended any Vaishnava? The Buddha, the bird carrier of Lord Vishnu. Garuda is the bird carrier of Lord Vishnu. And Garuda is entitled to eat fish. For us, eating fish is not desirable. For Garuda, the bird carrier of the Lord, eating fish is something natural. And what is a particular fish. And what is it? Swami Mahino. He gave protection to the fish that the Guruja could not eat the fish. Last eat the fish is sinful. The Guruja is a fish. They do not know. Prabhupada means we should avoid offenses. We should avoid offending the Vaishnava. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains the process of devotional service. Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Rupa Goswami explain how Prabhupada Ravita Kura Bhagavanaji, Guru Krishna Kripapai, are we going through so many verses? We need a fortunate soul who receives what? The Siddha Bhakti. The Siddha Bhakti means knowledge that Bhakti Yoga is the best alternative. Bhakti Yoga is the only solution. And this, you get this knowledge. But then, you get a seed of devotional service. Then you want the seed to grow. How does the seed grow?
Hearing and sense.
By
hearing
and chanting. This is compared to watering the seed. You may have a very beautiful garden, but if you don't water the plants properly, you will not be fruitful. So this, just getting knowledge that bhakti is the ultimate solution is not the end of the world. That's only the beginning. Just like we may go on and distribute books. We've given someone a book. Spiritual life begins with that. But then he has to read it to get full advantage of it. So, getting knowledge is good. Then you do water the seed and water it. That is known as sharam kira. There are different stages of chanting the holy name. You have the offensive stage, the stage of minimizing offenses, and the purified stage. In the beginning, you just ask people to chant. You don't give them a whole conversation. And then as they chant, they discover, oh, there's some more guidelines that we have to follow. There's like Prabhupada, when he opened the first temple in New York, he just told the devotees, just chant. He didn't give them any rigid rules or anything. One day, the devotees residing there came up to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, don't you want us to follow some rules and regulations? And Swamiji said, this is what I was waiting for. You would come and ask them. So, the seed of devotion sort of grows through the process of sharanam kirtanam. And then, it is said that we should stay in devotee association. Devotee association is highly recommended. One may have the spiritual knowledge, but still you need devotee association to practice devotional service. And we can associate with those who are more advanced, those who are equally advanced, and those who are?
Yes.
That's it. We behave differently in different situations. When we meet somebody more advanced. And what do you do? You're joyful. Why? Because you're going to get some knowledge. It will help you to make spiritual progress. You meet somebody equally advanced. What do you do?
Friendship.
What do you do?
Friendship.
What's the answer?
Friendship.
You make friendship. Friendship and spiritual life means we work together to spread the mission of the Lord. That is very necessary. Prabhupada used to say, united we stand and divided we fall. Kind of compete with the bell. Nanda explains that when you meet somebody, ignorant one, what do you do? Make friendship. Friendship and spiritual life means we work together to push Sri Prabhupada's movement. And when you meet somebody less advanced, then what do you do?
Show compassion.
Show compassion. Showing compassion means giving them, you know, in the Prabhupada said, our compassion should be consistent with the compassion of the Lord. In other words, sentimentally you may think, oh, I should do something. But there's a difference between spiritual compassion and material compassion. When Prabhupada says in the Prabhupada, so our compassion should be consistent with the compassion of the Lord. In other words, our compassion should be for the spiritual cause, to enlighten, to give people knowledge the way they can make spiritual advance. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that the seed of devotional service grows when you water it, and in order to ensure that unwanted animals don't come inside, you should know. Stay in the association of devotees. But staying in the devotee association, you're constantly reminded about the purpose of the human life, about the importance of devotional service. So this see the devotional growth in the associate. And then Lord Chaitanya said, sometimes they have unwanted weeds that also grow side by side. What do you do to these unwanted weeds?
Cut down.
Cut them. In other words, you have a devotee, what do you do? You eliminate them. Once you identify the disease, then you will cure the disease. By being in devotee association, you can identify what the problem is. And you can also cure that problem. Many times, so we stay in devotion. Many times when someone says something, we don't like it, we get bitter. But in spiritual sadhu sangha, we associate. Why? We associate to take part in Sharanamarikirtana. And this beautiful devotional garden gets ruined. And what happens? When we commit Vaishnava Prana. So, over here we saw that Gurudha had committed Vaishnava Prana also. Gurudha is guiding, guiding how we should execute devotional service. So, the point is, you should deploy Vaishnava Prana. Vajjasanya. Very compassionate, merciful to everyone. He showed us the importance of avoiding Vaishnava Prana. The Lord was very kind to everyone, but he was not angry at his mother. And the Guru would say, my Lord, you're being merciful to everyone. And you being merciful to your mother. And what did he say? My mother had offended. And what was her offense? Nothing major. Just in her mind she thought that Advaitacharya, that you possess my person. He influenced my orders her to leave home. That was interesting. My younger son also. And that was the anger. And when you would even go to such a mother and say, the Lord said that you have offended. And she would say, and how is it possible? And but once when she said to your mother, was offering obeisances, the child was offering obeisances, she came from behind, took the dust, and applied it on her foot. So Lord Chaitanya gave us this extreme example to show that his Vaishnava brother is so powerful. We should be careful. So Garuda committed an offense also. He gave protection to the fish. And so on the spiritual path, what do? We avoid the offenses. And the Lord's pastime is so powerful. By reading these pastimes, you get purified. So Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book, which is a very scientific presentation. We got a story from Shyamananda once. After Prabhupada went on to New York, he wanted to get a Krishna book published, and he wanted a high-class presentation or something like that. At that time, the movement was young, and funds were also limited. At that time, the devotees had started preaching in England, and Shyamananda had come from England. We gave Prabhupada a report on the progress. Prabhupada was very impressed by the progress, by the efforts of the Siddha Sahib. So Prabhupada, after he heard the report, he said, why didn't you ask George to print this Krishna book? And President Ramana said, Prabhupada is a human devotee. If we approach him for this now, he will lose faith. And Prabhupada said, no, we can try. So he went back to England, and there he approached George and said, a special one master wants you to publish this book. And he agreed instantly. So Prabhupada wanted to present the Krishna book in a very powerful presentation. He wanted to present the passing of the Lord in a very genuine way. So reading the wonderful passing of Krishna, killing the demons. And these demons that we read about, they're also devotees of the Lord. The Lord usually desires to perform these pastimes at home and his devotee. Just like when the Kumar came to the spiritual planet, and they were stopped at the seventh gate by the doorkeeper. The doorkeeper said, you naked children, you can't go inside. They were very angry. They said, you are not fit to be here. We were getting so much happiness. You stopped that. So they, the dialogue, and they cursed the doorkeeper. The Lord heard the dialogue. When the Lord came out, the Kumara saw that he was very friendly, intimate with the doorkeeper. So they concluded, he made a mistake. We made a mistake in cursing them. They wanted to withdraw the curse.